Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. We believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we'll give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. John chapter 1, verse 47. John 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Now we said that Nathanael reacted that way because the fig tree was the place of devotion. The Jews would usually go there to pray and meditate on the Torah. Okay, so it was very private. So Jesus is saying here, basically, "I saw you while you had your devotion." Hallelujah. What comfort these words are. Amen. The Lord sees us as we carry out our devotion. That's what Jesus means there. Now we said that man wasn't made to give anything to God. Okay, God made everything and gave it to the man. All man was made for is fellowship with God. Now we carry out that fellowship in devotion. We saw the importance of devotion. Number one, we said Christ demands devotion. Christ is the Kurios, our master or our lord. We are the doulos, the servants. Now, like the doulos of ancient times, we come before him to receive instructions every morning. Also, we said devotion builds you up spiritually. In devotion, you pray. In devotion, you also study God's word. Now, these two have a growing effect on the Christian. Then we also saw the importance of waking up early to wait on the Lord. And the Old Testament Jews did this. Our Lord did this, the disciples did this, the early church fathers also did this. Okay, so waking up early to wait on the Lord means that you honor him. So you let go of sleep to wait on him. So that's a brief recap of all that we've seen so far. So we'll wrap this up nicely today. Now, like we saw on Sunday, devotion involves studying God's word. The Christian must place value on God's word. The Bible deserves our honor because it is the only book inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And that is why God's people throughout scripture place premium on his word. Isaiah speaks of seeking God's judgments or his word early in the morning. Isaiah 26 verse 9. It says, "With my soul I have desired you in the night." Underline that, in the night. "Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early." Underline that, I will seek you early. "For when your judgments are in the earth," underline your judgments, "the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Psalm 119 is a declaration by the psalmist of how much he loves God's word. Psalm 119:23-24. "Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes." Underline that, your servant meditates on your statutes. "Your testimonies," underline that, "testimonies also are my delight, and my counselors." Verse 81 of that same chapter, "My soul faints for your salvation because I hope in your word." Underline that, "I hope in your word." Verse 1-7 of that same chapter, it says, "Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." Job says similarly, Job chapter 23 verse 12. Job 23:12, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Underline that, "for mortal food." The prophet Jeremiah speaks of rejoicing at God's word. Jeremiah 15 verse 16, it says, "Your word were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Honor from heart to heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So it is obvious that God's word must be taken in high esteem. Okay, now what better way to do so than in devotion? Devotion shows that we honor God and his word because we abandon sleep to meditate on God's word and to pray. So in devotion, he talks to us through his word. We talk back to him through prayer. Now next to bedding here, devotion must be sustainable. And the aim of devotion is sustainability, to be able to wait on the Lord while also being able to carry out your natural activities, that is academics, career, family life, and so on and so forth. So set a realistic devotion period that will allow you wait on the Lord while other areas of your life do not suffer. So God doesn't expect you to be doing 10 hours devotion every day. Okay? The Jews would pray about 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon, and another hour at night. Now that is sustainable. Okay, you can do that and still have time for other things. That's what sustainability means. So that's the aim of devotion. Bite-sized discipline so that you don't burn out. Now, as a general rule, you should not be using more than 4 to 5 hours daily for devotion. Okay, you will burn out. Now, I want to show you how to carry out daily devotion practically. How to carry out daily devotion practically. So, a new subheading for you. Number one, choose a specific time. Okay, now before the day breaks is usually better. We've seen examples of this in scripture. So from 3 a.m. to about 6:30 a.m. around this time is good for devotion. Now, why the early hours of the day? Okay, number one, it shows you prioritize God. Since you start the day waiting on him, you value him. That's what that means. Number two, it is quiet. Okay, there are less distractions in the morning. Number three, since you're just waking up, your mind is refreshed. So it is easier to hear from God at that time than, let's say, after a long day's work whereby you're worn out and sleepy. So have a special prayer time and adhere strictly to it. Okay, now not because God will not hear you if you pray at other times, but for the sake of discipline. Okay, so I pray by this time every day. That's discipline. You see that Jesus would oftentimes wake up a long while before daybreak to pray. Mark 1 verse 35 recalls that. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, underline that from hour to daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So he woke up early in the morning to pray. Now number two here, choose a special location. Okay, choose a special location. Devotion is personal and private. So you are not expected to carry it out where people can distract you. And that is why Jesus the Christ often went to a solitary place. Mark 1 verse 35. It says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. Underline that. A solitary place. And there he prayed. The phrase solitary place, eremon topon in the Greek, it refers to a desolate place, an abandoned place, free from disturbance, and which provides the needed quiet. Okay, it describes a place where much people cannot be found. You see that the Jews would go under their fig trees away from prying eyes to meditate on the Torah. So it is not old-fashioned to have a prayer room, amen, or a prayer spot where you withdraw to wait on the Lord. Chapel ground in UI is a very great place to do that, amen. Now, distractions can also be electronic, especially in this age. So, do not do devotion in front of a television, okay, or with your phone close by. Your data is on, okay? Remove all distractions. And number three here, before heading to your solitary place, take all the materials you will need there. Okay, take your Bible, a notepad, and other resources that you would use so that you can stay in one place till you're done. Okay, so don't keep living and coming back. Now, number four, devotion entails studying God's word. So have a Bible reading plan. The aim of devotion, as we've said, is sustainable discipline. Okay, that is what you can do every day, no matter how busy you get, that you are able to do the same things over and over again consistently. You know, some try to read all books of the Bible in one sitting. That's excessive. You say, in my devotion today, I want to read the entirety of Isaiah. Okay? That is not sustainable. The aim is not to finish one book of the Bible in the devotion period. Okay? In devotion, you study in chapters. Is that clear? Bite-sized. Okay? Why? Because that is enough for you to meditate on throughout the day. You follow that? Bite-sized study. So, a Bible reading plan helps you with that. What does a Bible reading plan do? It divides the Bible into chapters, which you can follow throughout the year. Now, this is better than trying to read a whole book in one sitting. Okay, now, personally, I'm not a big fan of devotionals. Okay, so get a good study Bible. I recommend that instead and read it together with the explanation as you study. Now, also, train yourself to not eat anything till you're done with your devotion. Okay, so set out that time to stay away from all pleasure till you're done. Do not be snacking. Okay, I've been having devotion. Now, another bullet point here. Okay, still under this. Read the Bible contextually. Now, the Bible must be understood, first of all, in its original context before it is applied to your present situation. Some folks just want to apply the Bible to their lives without, first of all, understanding it in its context. That is wrong. Okay, now to understand the Bible contextually, you must read the antecedent text. Okay, that is the verses which came before, and the succeeding text, that is the verses which came after the verse you're studying. Only then can you truly understand the Bible well enough to apply it. Now, bullet point still under number 4, apply what you've read. Now, application means seeing how the Bible fits into today's world. Okay, the Bible was written several centuries ago. Now, application means how does the Bible fit into today's world, into my world. Do you follow that? Now, good Bible application is first of all a product of good interpretation. Reformed pattern of Bible interpretation follows this format. First of all, literary interpretation. Okay, you read the Bible in its literary context. Then next, historical interpretation. You read the Bible in its historical context. Then next, theological interpretation. Okay, then application. So after you've accurately understood what a biblical text is saying literally, historically, and theologically, then you can apply. Okay, now application of God's word is important. See how James says it, James 1 verse 22. James 1 verse 22. But be doers of the word. Underline that. Be doers of the word. You can simply say, apply the word in your life. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, underline that, not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, and goes away, and immediately forgets. Underline that, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Underline that. Continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, underline from not to hearer, but a doer of the work, underline that, a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So James is saying, after reading God's word, do not forget what you've read. Keep it in your heart and let it influence your life. Now that is application. A biblical text has just one meaning, but it can have different applications. There are three types of applications. Number one, direct application, which takes the Bible literally and applies what it says directly. That is direct application. For example, Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, in direct application, you ask, what is making me anxious? I can let it go before the Lord and receive His peace. Direct application. Example number 2 here, still under direct application. Isaiah 53 verse 6. Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now in direct application you ask, how exactly have I gone astray? What sins was I guilty of before Jesus saved me? Direct. Example number 3 here. Psalm 23 verse 4. Psalm 23 verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, in direct application, you would ask, what troubles am I facing currently? Now, that's the valley here. Okay? God is with me. Now, number two here. Type of application. Counter application. C-O-U-N-T-E-R. Counter application. This applies what the Bible says negatively, positively, and also the other way around. For example, Mark 12 verse 31. As we begin to close gradually now. Mark 12 verse 31. And the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. Now this says love your neighbor. Now that phrase love your neighbor can also be understood as do not hate. So that is counter application. Do you follow that? What is said positively is said negatively. You follow that, or is understood or applied negatively. So love your neighbor can also be understood as do not hate. That's counter application. Now number three, extensive application. You apply widely what the Bible says narrowly. For example, Romans 12 verse 13. It says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now that phrase, distributing to the needs of the saint, can be extended. Okay, to apply to widows and orphans. Now it just says saints, but you can extend that word saints, right? To apply to widows and orphans who oftentimes have need amongst the saints. Okay, extensive application. Now number five, devotion entails prayer. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Underline that. There he prayed. And prayer for the Christian is the fuel of his faith. I've said that over and over again, right? It is the fuel of the Christian faith. Romans chapter 12 verse 11. As we close, Romans 12 verse 11. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Underline from not to spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. How? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Underline that, continuing steadfastly in prayer. So prayer is what keeps us going in our service to the Lord. Prayer edifies and builds us up. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The word edifies translates the Greek oikadomeo. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. The last O accentuated. It means to build up. Jude says similarly, Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, underlined from building to faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And that is why the epistles instruct that prayer should be consistent exercise. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Ephesians 6 verse 18, the Apostle Paul speaking here, praying always, underline that, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing, underline that, without ceasing. So, prayer should be done before the devotion. You follow that? You ask for knowledge and insight into God's word before you study. Ephesians 1, 17 to 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, underline that, from gift to revelation, in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding and being enlightened, that you may know, underline from being to know, what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See Psalm 119 verse 18. Quite interesting. This resembles a Pauline prayer. Psalm 119 verse 18. It says, open my eyes. Come on. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, right? Open my eyes, underline that. Okay, open my eyes that I may see. Now see what? Wondrous things from your law. Ephesians 1, right? Okay, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So it says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. So after this prayer, you then study. Okay? Then afterwards, you also pray that God's word saturates your mind throughout the day, that you walk in the word. You're full of wisdom. You are effective in the faith and in your service to God. You grow and mature spiritually. Now, number six here. Don't be overly time conscious in devotion. Do not be overly time conscious in devotion. So stop asking, have I spent 1 hour yet? Have I spent 2 hours yet? Okay? Stop checking the clock over and over again. Just do the needful in prayer and meditating on God's word, and time will go by effortlessly. Amen. Now, another bullet point here as we close. Problems affecting devotion and how to overcome them. Problems affecting devotion and how to overcome them. Now, number one, the major problem affecting devotion is what? Maybe you can guess. Sleep. Hallelujah. Many Christians have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. You see, some Christians say things like, I'm not a morning person. If you get serious with the things of God, then you'd have to become a morning person. Now, the solution here is simple. Go to bed on time. Amen. Don't stay up late on the internet. Some will press phone till 2 a.m. Okay, and you want to wake up by 3 a.m. for devotion. I wrote in my note here, they play. Hallelujah. Just they play. Okay? Go to bed on time. Also, set an alarm. Okay? And in some cases, multiple alarms. Okay? 3:05, 3:10, 3:15, 3:20. Okay? Before your devotion time. And here's an act. Don't put the alarm near your bed. Okay? You can, by impulse, turn it off and continue to sleep. Okay? So put it far away from you, from your hand. Okay? So that it takes you time to find it in the dark. That will make you come awake. Now, also, you can splash it on your face when you wake up. Amen. It helps. Now, I hope you know you won't see all of this in the Bible, right? So, I'm speaking from experience. Do you follow that? So, you wake up, quickly splash it on your eyes so that you are awake. Okay, now, also, do not do your quiet time in your bed. I believe this goes without saying. Get a desk to sit on. Now, number two here. Another problem is distractions during devotion. Distractions. During devotion, do not keep your phone around you. Okay, also do not do devotion in a lousy area. Okay, do not be overly concerned also about the cares of the day. So if you simply give God that time, God will take care of the rest of the day. Remember, if the root is holy, so will be the branches. Hallelujah. Now, number three, commitment. Another problem, commitment. Now, if you miss a day's devotion, do not allow condemnation. Simply cover up for it and do the next day's own. Okay? Don't give up simply because you're not so consistent. Keep at it and press on. Is that understood? Okay. Now, in closing, let me read you a prophecy given by Kenneth E. Hagin on devotion. Okay, now it says, don't take up all your time with natural things. Some of those things are legitimate. And it's all right to take a certain period of time there, but see to it that you give it, watch, listen to, pay attention unto your spirit. And you give your spirit opportunity to feed upon the word of God. And you give your spirit opportunity to commune with the Father above and build yourselves up on your most holy faith. It doesn't take a lot of time, just an hour or two out of 24. Just pay a tithe of your time unto me, saith the Lord, and all will be well. Did you hear that? Okay, let me say it again. It doesn't take a lot of time, just an hour or two out of 24. Just pay a tithe of your time unto me, saith the Lord, and all will be well. Your life will be changed. It will be empowered, and you will be a mighty force for God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, now this prophecy was given at the annual prayer seminar 1982. Praise the Lord. Okay, so if you would just give God a little part of the day, Kenneth Hagin says a tenth. Okay, just about 2 to 4 hours daily. He's not asking for much, right? It will rain his blessings on the entire day. Hallelujah. Okay, and you will find spiritual growth and empowerment in your affairs. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him.